Hey, welcome to Show Kill. I'm Chip Mahoney, and this is my podcast where I pair a crypto and a crime together at the same time, except for today, because this is a fast kill episode where I focus 100% on a true crime case. And in fact, I covered this one recently in the Tether and Lover's Lane murders episode. And Lover's Lane is a case from Houston, Texas from 1990, a double murder, one of the most infamous cases in Texas history. There's a lot of evidence. There's DNA, yet there's been no traction in this case after almost 34 years. So the way that I think about it is, what else you got? Well, I got something to talk about today, some hidden details really that might just fly by you when you read about them or kind of do research here, but I think they're important. And I'm going to talk about them, pinpoint some of those details, and maybe there's something more to say about Lover's Lane from 1990, a really gruesome case. So thanks for being here today in this Fast Kill episode. Thanks for tuning in, and I got that for you next. The Lover's Lane murders from 1990, almost 34 years ago now, that a young couple was brutally murdered in late August of 1990, their bodies found the next evening. And this case has remained a mystery for a long time. It's one of Texas' most infamous cases. And again, like I said, no traction after 34 years. So what else you got? I do have an idea about it, and I think it's worth listening to the previous episode as well, where I talked about Tether and the Lover's Lane murders and the crypto and crime episode. So maybe after this one, you check that out, because I go into detail about my idea about this. I kind of expand from a story perspective how I think about it. But here in this Fast Kill episode, I'm talking about the reports that are available online from the local news. So I recommend checking those out, because then you can just go along with me here or verify what I'm talking about, because there's some hidden details. I think they kind of are in plain sight, but they're also hidden. And I'm going to talk about those details today. I think they are more than what they seem. Prior to Lover's Lane in late August of 1990, there was another attack on a dancer where the perpetrator was inside her boyfriend's home when she got there. So it was late night. She had been dancing at a club. She had a lot of cash on her. He's in her boyfriend's place. He says to her, "Your boyfriend owes me money." He's wearing something over his head, like pantyhose, but covering his face. And he also has a uniform of some type on. He's about 6 foot tall, 180 pounds. And has an olive complexion, because she can see that underneath whatever he's wearing over his head. So there was a sketch that came out of that attack, because she did survive. He assaulted her. He held a gun to her head or to her neck area and cocked the hammer back and forth. So it was a revolver. And he used that gun to scare her, to control her, to get her to do what he wanted. He assaulted her. And he took her money, which was about $250. And at that time, around 1990, that's like a grand. It's a lot of money, and it's significant. The Lover's Lane attack on the two couple that was murdered, there was a $20 bill found by the girl's body. And $20 in 1990, that was like $200 today. So the money is significant. In that initial attack, the killer or the attacker had used a revolver. And 17 years after Lover's Lane, they were able to find out that the DNA left in the attack on the dancer and the two that were killed at Lover's Lane is the same. So the same guy who attacked the dancer also killed the couple. And I do believe it was one person who did it. 6 foot tall, 180 pounds, olive complexion, and was a bit older. The couple was in their early 20s, 21, 22 years old. I think this guy was older than that, 27 to 30 years old. And he was certainly prepared. Now, in Lover's Lane, as you read through the local news and even an update, I think about 6 to 8 months ago, and really rehashing this case because it was so brutal, that they want to find out more answers. So it's still out there in more recent news, but you can follow along with that. And I do believe that in Lover's Lane, a gun was used to separate the couple, to control them, to get them to comply and do what he wanted. No gun is mentioned in those reports. However, because we know it's the same guy, I do believe that he also had that revolver on him. And he used that to control them, get them to comply. And that's how they were separated, attached to two different trees. And the guy who was killed, his name was Andy. He was found tied to a tree, but the girl who was attacked on another tree was ultimately taken off that tree and put on the ground somewhere and covered up with boards, and a $20 bill was found nearby. But that's how he separated. That's how he controlled him. So I do believe that a gun or a revolver was used in Lover's Lane, although it does not mention a gun. We know it's the same guy. We have a sketch of that guy, and sketches are very important. And the dancer was able to give that physical description, the height and weight, which is very important. But in both of those attacks, the dancer and Lover's Lane, he had a revolver, but the last thing he wanted to do was fire that weapon. That's important. He used it as a tool, as a prop, as a way to scare the dancer, cocking the hammer back and forth, teasing her with it. But under no circumstance did he want to fire it. And I believe that was the case with Lover's Lane as well. If he had that gun, he used it as a control method to separate the couple, get them to comply, but he murdered them with a knife. The last thing he wanted to do was fire that revolver. That's what I think. That's a hidden detail that you could skip over, but I think it sticks out. Sticks out to me. It's something. The other thing is that the bodies were found the next evening, because this was a remote area of West Houston that at that time was called Lover's Lane. And so they were found the next evening, but there was a call placed to her family, the girl who was murdered, because she was the girlfriend of the guy, Andy. They were the young lovers that were killed that night. A call was made to her family to say, that the caller had said to the family, he found her shoes and her purse in her car. And that's in the reports online from the local news. The car, though, was not hers. It was Andy's car. So my question is, why does the caller talk about her and also assign possession of the car to her? Why is he focused on her? Why does he think it's her car? No mention of the boyfriend, or no mention of, I found her belongings in his car, or we found his car, we found them, please come to the scene. The caller is focused on her, and he assigns possession of Andy's car to her. He thinks it's her car. That's important. Was the caller also the killer? Did the killer follow the couple from the last place that they were seen that night? And was the girl driving Andy's car? Did he think it was her car? Was she in the driver's seat when they were parked at Lover's Lane? Was she driving Andy's car where he would assume that's her car? That's something that sticks out to me, because this guy knows a lot. He's very prepared. In the first attack, he's inside the dancer's boyfriend's home. He knows the boyfriend. He knows her. He's inside the boyfriend's home. He's got the jump on everybody. He's also got a revolver. And as reports say, he was 6 foot, 180, olive complexion, but also had a military stance to him and was wearing a uniform of some type. So he's got a gun. He's prepared. He knows what he's doing. And that's how I think he also knows the girl from Lover's Lane in a roundabout way. He knows her. She doesn't know him. Possibly he follows her from the last place that they were seen that night, and maybe she's driving Andy's car. Because when the caller informs the family, as reports say, he focuses on her, her purse, her shoes, and then he assigns the car to her, giving her the possession, which it's not her car, it's Andy's car. Why does he focus on her? Why does he assign that car to her? So we know it's the same guy. We know that the DNA matches up that way, but they can't use genetic genealogy here for some reason like they could in Golden State Killer in multiple cases. I mean, Golden State was 40 years cold, and they solved that case through genetic genealogy. It could be because this is second, third generation inside the United States, and family members prior to that are outside the United States, and data hasn't been uploaded to 23andMe and other sources. Maybe that's the reason. I don't know. Again, it's just something to think about. But here, when I think about it, these two things do stand out. No gun is mentioned in Lover's Lane. However, I think a revolver was used to separate the couple. He had a gun on his person. That's how he issued that control, and he made them comply, was able to tie them to two different trees and really just take control of the situation. I mean, that's two people he had to control. He didn't just show up at Lover's Lane and then just wait for people to park their cars there and attack them. He's not a serial killer. I think he followed them from where they were last seen, and he knew her in a roundabout way. I do expand on that idea in the previous episode where I talked about that. So it's something to check out after this episode here. And then also the call made to the family. These are in the reports. You can read about it. Her shoes, her purse, her car. It's not her car. It's her boyfriend's car. Why does he focus on her? Why does he think it's her car? Is the caller related to this case somehow, some way? Is that the killer? Because this guy's prepared. He doesn't just show up. This isn't random. He knows who he's attacking. He knew the dancer. He knew the boyfriend. But who is he? And also, why would the same killer or the same attacker from the first one and the killer of the couple know a dancer in a club and then know somehow, some way, a 22-year-old girl? Because reports say that Andy was 21, she was 22. If this guy's 27, 30 years old, I'm assuming the dancer wasn't in her early 20s. I'm assuming that she was older at that time. So that doesn't make sense to me how they would know each other. And I do have an idea about that in the previous episode. I also expand on it. So it's something to check out. These are the hidden details, like in plain sight. I suggest you check out the reports online from the local news and go through it as I have, because I'm triggered by it. And I'm triggered by it because I think a gun was used in Lover's Lane. And the last thing this guy wanted to do was fire that weapon in both cases. The attack against the dancer, he used it to scare her. The attack and the murders of Lover's Lane, that couple, he used that gun to get the jump on them, control them, but he used a knife to murder them. That's what I got for you here today on this Fast Kill episode. Hope you enjoyed it. Join me next time for other episodes where I pair crypto and crime together. But on this one, I'm out. Thank you.